see Warwick Dunn walking down the aisle. I stop him. Hey, Warwick, the Bucs are going up to Atlanta Sunday to kick your ass.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here for the annual prediction podcast.
Bit of a nutcase.
Week one is here. It is going to be lively. It is going to be feisty. There may be fist fights. We've got last year's results. I can proclaim, Ira, that I made perhaps the worst pick in the history of football predictions.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this one.
But although I made some good ones too, but man, and you know what? I was reviewing last year's picks and I've got some notes. We'll catch that way at the end of the podcast. But I was like, oh man, I'm doing pretty well. And then came the gem, the ugly, ugly pick.
You're going to throw it out there right now?
No, I'm not putting it out there now. I'll save it. So we are here at the Bill Curry Ford Studios, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Later this podcast, we'll get Sean Sullivan's picks for the season. We've got it very organized here, a list. So we got a lot to get to. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the sage is ready. He's got his notes. Lee's ready. He's got his digital notes. I've got my digital notes. And Ira, before we talk about all these important things, Luke Getteke's contract and more, I got to say, we had our fantasy football draft.
There's a lot going on right now, Steve. There's a lot going on. I think you can skip that part. Let's go right to Tampa Theater.
Ira, we had our fantasy football draft over the weekend. Big, big players in this draft. 12-team league. Ira Kaufman.
Thought I was well prepared.
Ira Kaufman. Yahoo scores his draft. As anybody who plays online knows, they scored Ira's draft. He got an F. Your thoughts, Ira?
I haven't gotten an F since 1973. The history of cinema with my professor. He gave me an F on one of my papers. That's the last F I've gotten, besides picking the Eagles to beat the Bucks in the NFC title game in 2003. That was an F.
Did you, this paper you put in, is that the same professor you crossed paths with?
Same guy. Same guy.
Oh.
And I reminded him of that night.
Same guy you hunted down at Tampa Theater. All right, Ira, look, got an F. It was too much fun to pass up. I was hysterical when I saw it.
Speaking of Tampa Theater.
But it means nothing. You were at the Tampa Theater for all these dignitaries and luminaries, and the Bucks rolled out the first little chunk of their documentary. We don't know when it's going to be ready. We don't know how long it's going to be. But the Bucks rolled out 5 long excerpts last night at Tampa Theater and had a panel of legends talk about each segment that they aired. And a big red carpet thing. Iroh, you were out there mingling. What do we need to know?
At the time of my life, Steve. I see Warwick Dunn walking down the aisle. I stop him. Hey, Warwick, the Bucks are going up to Atlanta Sunday to kick your ass. Because he's with the Falcons now.
Part owner, right?
I think so.
Yep.
He's still doing that fantastic home program that he does. I mean, what a philanthropist Warwick Dunn is. Fantastic. What he does in Tampa, what he does in Atlanta. Well, anyway, it was fantastic. And I got to say, Casey Phillips was the MC, and I haven't seen her, a lot in person. I know she does a lot online, but she did a fantastic job. Kept the program moving along. It was a hell of a night. Brady shows up. Doug Williams is in the house. We talk about Mike Evans getting the thing. It was very emotional. Mike Evans saying, Mayfield wanted me to get this thing more than I did. And the F-bombs flew all night long. And there were kids in the audience.
I don't like that.
And there were kids in
the
audience.
And I'm not a prude.
Some say you are, Lee. Some say you are.
I know. I cuss with the best of them. But in a setting like that, I mean,
I think the biggest news of the night, Steve, was that out of the 5 excerpts, I didn't make the cut. I was not on the big screen.
You were clung to clock yourself,
so
right?
So I see the director before the whole thing starts, and I go, am I going to see myself tonight? No. No, Ira. But you're going to play a prominent role in the documentary. But not on the excerpts tonight.
Notice that's the first thing he asked the producer?
First thing. Ed Glazer spoke in public.
What?
That's a shocker, Lee. That got your attention. Yeah. And Ed Glazer, I believe it turns out, he is the driving force behind this documentary of 50 years of Buccaneer football.
Well, it sounds like he did a hell of a job from what you're telling
me.
Yeah.
So he had a prior relationship. They worked together on other projects with the director.
Oh, really?
And when it came time to chronicling a half century of Buck football, Ed thought of this director right away, and the guy grew up in Lakeland. He was a Buck fan from 1978.
So this is like a labor of love for the guy.
Yeah, labor of love. You know, and I sat down for 5 hours. Steve was there when I was talking, and to me, the highlight was they bought me lunch that day, Steve. And speaking of that, I'm down 3 pounds. We're going to talk about that more next week, Steve, but I'm down 3 pounds.
Absolutely. And Trent Cooper, the esteemed director, a lot of people know who he is for his work on
Emmy Award-winning director,
NFL Network, many other places. I heard, Ira, from you that he's upset that we didn't invite him on the podcast. And I just want to call out Trent. We know you listen.
He listens all the time.
We love you. But I emailed you January 9th, 2025.
Wow.
And didn't hear back. So
glad you keep your notes like
that. I kept the notes.
You going to send him another one?
Well, hopefully he reaches out after this. He knows how to find us.
Loves the podcast, Lee. Loves the podcast.
Bill Curry Ford, that's where we are right now, starting off a new month in September here. Exciting times. Mobile service is just unbelievable at Bill Curry Ford, Ira. People, fans, your friends, you can get your vehicle serviced at your property. They're not going to, you know, rebuild your engine at your home, but there's a lot of things that can be done, and they don't charge extra to go out to your property and do the same work that they would do in the shop. Get to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name since 1960, 65 years now. Huge Bucks fans. And they've always got the Ira Kaufman discount ready.
We walk in today, and there's Mike Allstott. Right away.
That's what you find here at Bill Curry Ford. You know,
you find Mike Allstott here?
He's here, yeah.
I know he's here. But let's say someone's looking for Mike Allstott. This is the first stop.
Yeah, it's probably a bad idea.
And other members of the Buck family.
Absolutely.
Are here all the time.
Great Buck-friendly dealership. They give us our setup here as well. And we appreciate them. But start shopping at BillCurryFord.com. Transparent pricing. Tremendous inventory. All the September offers are rolling in right now.
An incredible service department, Steve.
Biggest one in Florida. You can even ask for a tour. It's big enough to actually get a tour. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. Ask GM Sean Sullivan, who we will hear from later in this podcast with his Buccaneers season picks for the Ira Kaufman discount. Florida's elite restoration. Storm season is here, Ira. It's here. Like, the peak of it is here now. It's been here a while, but the peak is here. You've got to be prepared. You have to have that name in your phone, that company you know you're going to call, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And it's not just storms. It's any time you have a disaster, Ira. Any water damage. Yeah, and you are the water damage whisperer. But this time of year, you're not whispering. You got to call them.
And you call them before you call your insurance company.
24/7 is when you call them, and they'll get out to your property. As soon as you'll have them out there, they'll give you a free inspection, trained experts, and top technology, and let you know how to proceed.
And ask for the Sage discount.
Ask for it when you first call. Get to the website, though. You'll learn and really understand what they do. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira Lee, Luke Getteke gets a contract extension. Reports say it is for $20-plus million a year, $50 million guaranteed, all the way through 2029, which is, I believe, how far Tristan Wirfs is locked down.
He's come a long, long way, Lee.
Yeah.
And he deserves a hefty contract. He's earned it. We all saw him at left guard, and we said,
oof.
Looks like a bad draft pick by Light. You know, everybody makes a mistake. Well, one thing leads to another. They move Wirfs from right to left. They're looking for a right tackle. Here comes Getteke. We didn't think much about it. They felt he was more suited for guard, maybe. Now they try him at right tackle. I know this sounds like an exaggeration, Lee, but he's kind of a notch below Wirfs. He's that good.
I don't think you're exaggerating.
Lee, in terms of as a surprise, well, maybe only in the timing. But he wasn't going to go anywhere, Lee. We know what guys that count in the organization think about Getteke going forward. And they got a guy like Wirfs. When they got a guy like Winfield, Lee, they take care of their own. That's what they do. And they just did it.
I kind of thought the Bucks, maybe I was getting ahead of myself, but the Bucks got this guy from Nigeria who's 3 years of organized football in his life. And Todd Bowles has been raving about him, including he used the word pretty to describe his blocking.
He didn't say the guy's going to shock the world, did he?
No, but he's called it pretty. Like, this guy apparently has some raw talent.
The accent on raw.
Exactly. Asterisks, raw. Italics, raw. However, I was wondering if they were going to use this guy for leverage. Whether it be a backup plan and Capes Wirfs' knee. I mean, Steve scares me. He starts talking about bone on bone. That's not good. Or leverage with Getteke. Like, hey, if you want X amount of dollars, well, we can't go there because we got this guy from Nigeria is looking really good. Obviously, we're past that point now. Getteke's signed. But I thought there was like, I'm using my index finger and my thumb maybe inch apart. I thought there was a chance that the way Bowles is talking about this young guy, undrafted free agent, if they thought, and who's better at picking offensive linemen than Jason Light? I thought maybe if they really do believe this guy might be a hidden gem, they were going to squeeze Gehrke. But apparently that's not the case.
Steve, when it comes to protecting Mayfield, whether it's his blind side or to his right, they're not fooling around. They brought Bredesen back. They could have let him hit free agency. Now, he's not in the class of Gehrke or Wirfs. I understand it. But he's functional and maybe better than that.
Yeah.
And they saw him all last year, and they brought him back. Gehrke wasn't going anywhere. If it didn't happen yesterday, it was going to happen at the end of the season.
Yeah, they got to jump on it. And, you know, it's interesting that they chose Gehrke. They basically are paying him top five tackle money for right tackles, which is what they think he deserves. And the tackle market is huge. So that was their decision. A lot of fans are looking at Zion McCollum, same year as Gehrke, on a trajectory. But McCollum isn't a top five cornerback.
Correct.
And
Otten's not a top five tight end.
Correct. So,
and the Bucks just drafted two corners.
It's the smart move with Gehrke, and they love the offensive line. And as I wrote on Joe Bucks Fan Ira, everything, if you look at it in its totality, it's all setting up as making sure Mayfield wants to stay and gives them a discount. Baker, we got you two bookend big money tackles.
Give us a little bit of a break.
Nobody has that much invested in the tackle position to protect you. We brought back Godwin when
we drafted a center.
When he was messed up, we brought back Godwin just for you. For 3 years. We drafted a receiver that everybody said we didn't need.
Just for you.
Just for you. Graham Barton, slam dunk center, just for you. So, you know, and I'm not saying he's going to give him a huge discount, but maybe instead of $58 million, he'll say, I'll take 50. We'll see. But fun move, good for Gehrke. Hopefully he comes out, you know, ready to spit nails and kill people on Sunday against the Falcons. That would be a beautiful thing.
And the Falcons have a couple of young rookie edge rushers, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing Pierce looks good. He's had a good training camp. He's a bit of a wild man, bit of a nutcase, James Pierce.
What's the word you were told?
Train wreck.
Yeah.
Train wreck. But the Falcons are impressed with him, and we're going to get a good look at him on Sunday.
The way I look at it is, you know, we've gone over this many times before, rookie edge rushers, unless their names are Bosa or Miles Garrett or someone drafted in the top five, they generally struggle. So I'm not going to sweat a whole lot. If Charlie Heck is, for whatever reason, not up to the task, I believe the Bucks will go max protect. And just the stats that I read earlier this week, Mayfield thrives in big formations.
I'll tell you how big this game might be, Lee, even though it's only week one. This is just me now. Bowles looked a little nervous on the podium today.
Oh, I thought he was relaxed.
You thought he was relaxed?
Yeah, he's joking and laughing, talking about how he cusses.
Well, some of the answers were a little short. I don't know if he's worried about these injuries or whatever, but I think he realizes, you know, it's week one, but this is a big game. They swept us last year.
Yes. Now, to that point, I put this out on Twitter, and already fans are, like, upset with Mayfield. How dare he say that? You know, Mayfield, we were all there. Mayfield said, I think of that Washington loss in the summer more than I think of playing Atlanta.
Well, that doesn't bother me.
No, I don't think so. It's a freaking playoff game that they lost.
You get eliminated. That's the game you remember. You got eliminated.
Well, of course.
Simply put, like I responded to a couple of people that were outraged on Twitter. I said, playoff games generally mean more. So that didn't bother me whatsoever. I'm glad he's pissed off he lost a playoff game.
By the way, Mayfield didn't play badly against the Falcons twice. He did his job. The Bucs scored points.
Defense.
Defense was a huge
problem. Look, we know the defense is a nightmare. All right, Ira, look, I thought maybe one other nugget that Mayfield said it was a little bit interesting. Of course, I had to ask him about Kyle Trask.
Yes, you did.
So he gave
and got a good answer.
He gave his I love Kyle, and
you never know where a guy's going to end up.
You know, and that's the way it is.
I
and
got a better
change of scenery kind of thing.
Hate to throw you a bouquet, especially on this kind of podcast, Steve, because I'll have plenty of time to slap you around. But looking at Mayfield's face, he was very happy that you asked about Kyle Trask. He wanted to say those things about Kyle Trask.
You think so?
Good job.
I'm glad you said that, Ira, because inevitably we're going to hear from people saying, oh, you just want to cause trouble, Kyle Trask.
No.
Let the guy have a send-off, you know?
Yes, we'll give him a
send-off. Teammates want to say good nice things about you.
Mayfield did have an interesting comment. He goes, as I know well, sometimes you just need a change of scenery.
Didn't Mayfield also kind of intimate that he is very excited that the schedule maker has the Bucs going to Atlanta week one? He thinks this is a perfect opportunity for the Bucs to flex their muscles.
I didn't catch that.
That's what I thought.
You know, I asked him, is it different preparing for a division opponent week one versus the last couple of years when you were preparing for unknown teams? And he sort of threw it the other way around, which was he said, yes, in part because Atlanta knows what we're all about because they've got the same Sean McVay offensive coordinator tree guy.
But the Bucs don't.
Well, the Bucs have that offense, though. And so there, he said, they're seeing our looks, all practicing against our kind of offense all summer long. You got to tweak that. And that was an interesting way to look at it.
I see the line still Bucs 2.5, Lee. I'm looking at all the predictions. I don't see too many people picking the Falcons to win the
Bucs
the
are giving
South.
2.5?
Bucs are giving 2.5 on the road.
I've seen 2. It's fluctuated for sure. It's not moving anywhere. Let's put it that way.
My sources tell me that this guy, Pierce, has had a good training camp. I'm not sure if he's coming off the right side or the left side. But if he's coming off the right side, he'll be meeting Mr. Heck. And that should be interesting.
Your sources are either Richie McKay or Warg Dunn.
I don't divulge my sources over there. It could be Raheem. I got him on speed
dial.
All right. Are you ready to get into the predictions?
Of course. I can't wait since you said I got an F in my fantasy.
So this
draft
is the annual prediction podcast. Now,
wait, don't you have to go over last year's first?
Do we go over last year's last or do we go over them first?
Last.
I think the fans want to know about this year. And,
okay.
You know, and the hardcores, they'll stick around to see me make fun
crank
of you.
Crank it up. Steve,
some of
crank
picks.
It up.
All right. So we're going to start here. I sent you guys a list. And we'll go in order. And,
you made us do research, dude.
As fast right. as you as fast as you want to burn through it, we'll go through it. Of course, we're looking for your insight, Ira. Predict Bucky Irving's carries, yards, receptions, and touchdowns running and catching.
250 attempts.
Oh, you stole my thunder.
1,200 yards, 50 catches,
ooh,
and a combined 13 scores. 13 touchdowns.
13 touchdowns.
13 touchdowns for Mr. Bucky Irving. I think he's going to get more receiving touchdowns than he had last year, although White is pretty damn good about receiving touchdowns. He had 6 last year. I think one or two of those will go to Bucky Irving this year.
Irving had 0 receiving touchdowns last year, so I got you, Lee.
And I figure he's going to play 15, 16 games. Why should I think the guy's going to get hurt?
Yeah. I went on the basis I thought he's going to get 20% more everything. 20% more plays, snaps, 20% more catches, etc. 250 catches.
250 carries.
Carries, I'm sorry, yeah. 250 carries, 1,020 yards. Oh, 60 catches, 500 yards receiving, 10 total touchdowns.
Now, Lee, you got him averaging only a little over 4 yards a carry. Last year was 5.4.
I expect him to have a little bit of a dip. And just to give things away a little bit, I expect the offense to have a little bit of a dip.
Is that because of Wirfs?
Not necessarily. Mostly Grizzard, new play caller.
Okay.
Having said that, I think their offense is going to be better in the second half.
Wow.
Once Grizzard gets a few games under. Very much like Canales. Canales was kind of a little shaky early on. By the time the playoffs rolled around, he was doing a good job.
What do you got, Stevie?
I hate predicting this, but
injury.
Here today,
you better not predict an injury. Now,
well,
come on.
I'm going to look at Irving and think that, you know what? He was banged up entering the season last year. Todd Bowles said he had a turf toe issue that somehow magically disappeared. And I think that, like most backs, he's going to get banged up a little bit.
So with all those problems last year, he was sensational.
He's phenomenal. I love the guy. I love the guy. But I think they're going to be more wary of that as it gets later in the season. I think they're going to work him like a dog early, but they'll be more wary of that. And I think I like Rashad White in a contract year.
You also took him on your fantasy league.
I did. Sean Tucker's coming. Coming through. Hopefully I never have to play Rashad White on my fantasy team.
Can we have the number, Steve?
All right. I'm going with 220 carries for Irving for 1,050 yards, 45 catches, and 3 rushing touchdowns and 3 catching touchdowns.
That's low, Steven.
I think they're going to spread the ball around a little differently this year. I do, in the red zone especially.
6 touchdowns for Bucky Irving seems a little low, Lee.
It does.
Not necessarily. I thought 10 was high for me, so.
All right.
Ira, does Mike Evans get the record? And what are his final numbers this season?
This is the easiest one of all, Lee. Of course he gets the record. By hook or crook. And he might miss 3 games again. He might. With a hamstring or something. I got him playing 15 games. I got him catching 80 balls, Lee. 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. How many games you got him playing?
14 games. I didn't have the number of catches, but yards is 1,120.
All right.
11 touchdowns.
And 11 touchdowns. Steve, you're predicting injuries from Mike Evans, too, while you're on this
track? I'm only predicting him to miss 1 game, and I think they're going to go a little more deep this year. I think his yards per catch will be up. So I'm going 70 catches for 1,100 yards.
I got 1,100 yards.
And
how many touchdowns?
9.
You know, he's climbing up the all-time touchdown list.
Yeah.
Where's he getting out, like 9?
Yeah, he's top 10. And suppose he plays another 2 years. He could be top 5. I mean, that's very impressive, his touchdown total.
All right. Who's got more receiving yards, Kate Otten or Chris Godwin, this year?
I didn't have the yards.
Who's got more?
Who's got more?
Just the name.
Otten. And here's a real simple reason why. Otten's practicing this week. Godwin's not. Case closed.
I got Godwin. I got him coming back maybe week six and closing with a flourish, playing 11 games, hopefully. And I think he hits the ground running, so to speak. And Otten, to me, is he's getting a little banged up, Kate Otten. I know it's a contract year, but Godwin is very fully motivated, too. I'm going with Godwin.
This was a tough one for me, I thought, when I really got into it, but I'll go with the healthy guy and see what happens. So if Godwin comes back, I mean, when he comes back, if it's half the season, they'll go to him, but there's still a lot of options there, and who knows what he's going to look like. I'll take Otten. All right. Last year, Ira, the Bucs averaged, all rushers averaged a stunning 5.3 yards per carry. That includes Mayfield, hands off to Shepard, the running backs. What's their total yards per carry this year?
You can go first, Steven.
I'm going 4.8.
I'm also going 4.8.
4.7. I win the Price is Right.
Nice going, Lee. So it's 5.3 is very tough to
keep. So we're predicting a big drop-off for the running game.
Only because 5.3, Lee, it's outlandish. You called it spectacular, whatever word you used. It was stunning. Stunning.
Well, partially that, and partially Cone did a hell of a job, you know, run gaps and you know, building a running attack. Hell of a job. Yes. Which was reflected in the stats. So
Barton,
I think there's
Barton
gonna be...
helped in the middle. Barton helped.
Sure, they all helped. Hell of an offensive line.
Nothing wrong with 4.8.
No. Nothing wrong with it. Very big number. Baker Mayfield's final stats, Ira. Will he regress a little bit? Will he stay the same? Improve? Last year he had 41 touchdowns, 16 picks, 4,500 yards passing, plus 378 yards rushing. And keep in mind, he tied for the NFL lead in fumbles.
I wouldn't call it a regression. Maybe they run the ball a little more now that they know they have Bucky Irving. They got three good backs, Lee. So I'm going with 35 touchdowns. 41's a big, big number to try to reverse. There's nothing wrong with 35. I got 14 picks. I think he'll do a little bit better about throwing some into coverage, but it's Baker Mayfield. He's going to test, you know, some small windows. 4,300 yards instead of 4,500. I think he's going to have less attempts. And 325 rush yards, because I think when he gets up to about 300, he's going to have a little meeting with Messrs. Grizzard, Bowles, and Light, who will sit him down and say, take it easy.
Take
it easy, Mayfield.
Not Glazer.
No. We love running on third and seven and getting those first downs, but get down. You know, or go to the sidelines. Don't take a hit. So those are Pro Bowl numbers, Lee, but a little down from last year. But the Bucs win more games.
I got him increasing a little bit. Because Grizzard's such a good passing coordinator. So I've been told.
What do you got?
42 touchdowns, 4,700 yards passing, 300 yards rushing.
How many picks?
What did he have last year?
16.
14.
He could be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, that's an MVP season. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
If the Bucs are going to make a run, their quarterback is generally an MVP.
What do you got, Stevie?
All right, Ira, I'm going to dial him back a little bit because he set such a high bar, especially with that 71.4% completion rate, which if they throw a little deeper this year, yeah, that rate's going to come down a little, but I've got him with another really good year. I got 36 touchdowns, 11 picks, 4,600 yards, and I think he's going to run less. I'm going to bring it down to 225.
225. I have 325.
On the ground.
Okay.
And hopefully he cuts the fumbles. That I don't know. The fumbles last year, they got really lucky a lot of times. Otherwise, we'd be sitting here.
You got him cutting his picks down by five. That's a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number. I think he learned some lessons last year, and they'll be a little smarter and in sync. And, you know, some of that's bad luck. So I don't think Mayfield was lucky not to throw 25. He just, you know, he threw a lot of picks. I think they'll dial it back.
You guys think the absence of Wirfs for 3 weeks, 4 weeks will affect Mayfield's numbers?
Might help him. He thrives in big packages. So if Heck is remotely struggling, they're going to go max protect. And Mayfield thrives in that.
If he's got to do the get rid of the ball quickly and the max protect, he's got Rashad White. He's got the backs. He's got
Egbuka,
the tight ends who can catch basic balls. He's got receivers. Shepard is his favorite target of his.
Okay.
You know, I think he'll be fine. Speaking of Egbuka, final stat line for Egbuka.
What do you got, Lee? What do you got?
13 games played. 80 catches, 900 yards, 6 touchdowns.
That's a hell of a rookie season.
He doesn't look like a rookie to me.
13 games, that's interesting.
Yeah, 13 games.
Lee's predicting calf injury.
80 catches in 13 games, Lee? Wow.
I think he's that good because You know, everybody and their brother is going to be covering Evans. We know that.
Steve, I got 65. Good number for a rookie receiver. 800 yards. Solid. Not Mike Evans. 1,000 yards as a rookie. But talking about a Hall of Fame receiver. I got him scoring 8 touchdowns. It's a good number. I think the Bucks would be happy with that.
You know, I was looking this up the other day. It's really not rare for rookies to get 1,000 yards. It's really not. I thought I might have been on a story like, oh, you know, Ibuka gets 1,000 yards. This is a big deal. And I started looking up, and this is not really that
except
big of a
deal.
Now
he's playing with Mike Evans. Mike Evans is going to get his.
But I'm just saying, in general, rookies getting 1,000 yards, I thought it was shocking. It's not shocking.
I'm going lower on Ibuka. I think 50 catches, 700 yards, 6 touchdowns. When Godwin comes back, you know they're going to be forcing the ball to him to a degree to get him involved and all that stuff.
If he plays 17 games, Steve, 50 catches is not a big number.
I don't know how many games he plays, but 700 yards is a big number for 50 catches, and that's fine. It's a really good rookie season.
Real quick, several of my answers are based on this little fact. It's a guess. When's Godwin going to play?
We don't know, and I'm not sure they know.
Exactly. So that has affected a lot of my answers here.
Now, what I don't know...
Influenced.
Can't say we really saw much of it in practice, but what I don't know is, are they going to throw wide receiver screens to Ibuka and let him break tackles like Godwin used to? I don't know if that's in his game. I'm sure it is, but I don't recall seeing it, and that's a next factor, because that could add 30 catches for him, because they seem to like that play. All right. Who's got a more impressive rookie year coming, Ira? Ibuka or Jacob Parrish?
Well, Ibuka plays the flash position, and if Parrish doesn't have 4 picks, if he has 2, it's going to be hard to say that Parrish had more of an impact than this rookie receiver who I have got for 8 touchdowns and 800 yards. So I'm going with the 19th pick in the draft, Mr. Ibuka, although I think Parrish will be very solid.
I'm going to read my note verbatim when I emailed to myself about this question. Ibuka, how the hell do you compare a wide receiver with a cornerback? And he's a slot cornerback, so Ibuka.
And Steve, you love to beg to differ, so I'm thinking.
No, I'll go with Ibuka.
Okay.
Parrish had a great summer. He should have a good year. If Parrish can play like Tyquee Smith did last year, but play for 17 games, the Bucks have a gem.
He's better than Tyquee Smith. I'm saying it right now.
Well, wow. I'm saying we'd be talking better about Smith if he didn't miss 4 games and looked a little off at times. Mm-hmm. So if he can play that well all the way through, I think they got something, especially with that speed factor. When we don't know if he's going to blitz at all. So there's that. Any thoughts?
Well, just that F you gave me on the Fantasy League. He didn't grade you. It stuck in my mind, Steve.
He didn't grade you.
That was Yahoo.
I don't like AI. Screw AI.
Better learn to live with it.
Bill Curry Ford, here we are, right above the beautiful showroom a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there online right now. That's all you got to do. They've got offers. And don't forget, Ira Kaufman discount. Just ask GM Sean Sullivan for it. Ira, name the Buccaneers' top 3 sacks leaders and the totals.
When it comes to sacks, I always yield to Mr. DeKemper because it's a pet project of his. So Lee, start us off.
Kalijah Kansi, 11. Hassan Reddick, 8. Yaya Diaby, 6.
It's pretty modest, Lee. Pretty modest.
Well, you know my thoughts on how bold he believes in sacks.
I've got Reddick with a dozen. I've got Kansi with 9.
Ooh.
And I got Diaby with 8. 12, 9, and 8. One double-digit sacker, although Kansi's close.
All right, I'm going to go with Diaby, Vea, and Reddick with 8. Each have an 8. That's what I'm going
with. Where's Kansi? Does it make the cut?
Maybe he has 7.5. I'm not predicting a bad year for him, but we'll go. That's what I'm picking. All right, who leads the Buccaneers in interception, Iris, for Ballhawk, Mr. Ballhawk, Todd Bowles? Top 2 interception leaders and their totals.
The new ball hawk, Parrish.
Wow,
interesting. New ball, even though he's not going to be on the field 100% of the time, you know, he's going to get a lot of snaps. Believe me, I got him with 4. That's a big number for the Bucks. 4. They had 7 last year as a team, Lee, which I've been screaming about every week, how disgusting that is. I got McCollum with 3 in a contract season. I got Parrish 4, McCollum 3.
My numbers are close, but different people. Well, one but different. McCollum with 4, and I have Winfield with 3.
You're not hitting me with Jamel Dean, are you, Lee?
I didn't mention his name. Winfield, right. I said.
Winfield, 3.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going the safety route. I'm going Tyquee Smith with 3 and Winfield with 3. Those are my top 2. All right.
So those are the 2 safeties.
Those are my 2 safeties. Okay. Yeah, each with 3 picks.
Okay.
Over under on starts for Jamel Dean. Over under.
You can start, Steve.
I'm going to put the over under at 12.
Whoa.
I got him at 13, Lee. I got him at 13.
9.
9.
Less and less games he's played the last 3 years. It's slipping.
So knowing that you got him at 9, you're thinking Morrison might make a move here.
Provided he's healthy. Okay. Right now, that's a big question mark.
All right, Ira, quick bonus question. Who has more sacks this year, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka or Chris Braswell?
Oh.
You threw that in. I wasn't prepared.
I had to have a curveball for you.
You had big gasp.
Whoa.
Tryon-Shoyinka with the Browns, who's trying to break through as a starter in Jim Schwartz's defense opposite Myles Garrett, or Chris Braswell, who Jason Light says will shock the world.
I got to go with JTS. First of all, Schwartz is really good.
Exactly.
They got a good defense, and he's got Myles Garrett. I'm going with JTS.
I agree. Totally agree.
But I'm not going crazy. I'll give him 5.
I wouldn't even go that high, but you're right. Yeah. You're right.
I'm going with Braswell. Come on. Jason Light knows what he's doing.
Lee's going with JTS, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Just think about this. If Braswell gets 3, he's doubled his previous amount.
Name the Buccaneers' defensive MVP.
I got Kancey, Lee. I think it's going to be a breakthrough season. I like the fact that he's healthy. Lee, you train your binoculars, and you and I bring them to all the games. And you watch Kancey work his stuff inside. He's a load to handle. He's unique in terms of his size. But he's got that get-off like McCoy, and I hate to say this, but I think he's going to end up being a better player than McCoy.
Pete Prisco said he's a superstar this year.
That's a strong word, Lee.
Yeah. To me, superstars, me and Joe Green are Warren Sapp.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that's Reggie White.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
He might shock the world, but I got Kancey as my MVP. What do you got, Steve? My defensive MVP.
I'm throwing the curveball here. I'm going with Vita Vea as an MVP. I love Kancey, and I think he's going to have
a
great
year. Love a little Vita Vea.
But this year, I'm just feeling Vea knows that he's 30, and he's got to produce at a high level to keep that contract money coming. He also will benefit a lot, I think, from Reddick and Diaby. We always look the other way around, but it goes the other way, outside in. And Kancey being a beast, and I think he's more fit than he's been before. And I think Charlie Strong is seasoned enough to say, man, and then he's in charge of the D-line rotations. Let's just keep him going out there. So I think he's going to have a special year, and it'll be close. They'll have their share of MVPs.
What do you got,
Lee? You guys are way overthinking this. Way overthinking this. To me, this is a fastball down the middle.
Winfield?
No. In the immortal words of Ric Flair, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Tell me a better defensive player than Levante David.
We're going to get to that in about 10 minutes when you fall off your chair, Lee.
All right,
that's a good pick, though.
So Levante David is Lee's MVP.
Until proven otherwise.
Kancey. You've got Kancey, I've got Vea for this 2025 season. All right, we're winding down, but we got the good stuff coming, the better stuff. What defender's play drops off this year significantly?
Number 54, Lee. Sorry to say it. That doesn't mean he's going to be lousy, but he's created such a plateau. And Lee, I've said it before, he wasn't quite as good in 24 as he was in 23.
No, but he was still damn good.
Still damn good. Age... Lee, you always say it, age creeps up on everybody.
Father time.
And I think it's going to rob him of maybe 3 games this year. And I got David taking another step back.
I don't disagree with you that age may catch up with him. This is what I exactly wrote in my notes. I can't answer this. There's just way too many variables. Way too many. If Winfield's not healthy, he will take a drop off, though he did last year. I could name a half dozen guys that could have a drop off. I really can't pick one. I really can't because it's just too many variables. Injuries, age, non-use.
Scheme.
Yeah. Okay. If they're going to have freaking Reddick dropping pass coverage 70% of the time, he's not going to do a damn thing. There was way too many variables for me to pick one.
David is the easy answer, I think.
Yeah, too easy.
Because the Bucs have a very young defense in general, and especially for me, since I think Vea is going to have
a
breakthrough year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the easy answer for me, so I'm sticking with that.
With who?
With David.
David, okay.
With David.
That he's had to have a bad year.
No. The question was significant drop-off. It's hard to predict, like Lee said. So, okay. Tough question. All right. What offensive player takes a step back?
I got K-Dot. I'm a little worried about the injuries. I'm a little worried about him. He dropped a lot of balls last year. That bothers me a little. Now, he did step up big time when injury struck the wide receiver core. I hate to say it because it's a contract year for Otten. And you know what? I think they like Durham and Culp, and they want to see what these guys can do a little bit because they got to make a contract decision on Otten. So I'm not sure he's going to get as many snaps as he did last year, but because he had an extraordinary amount of snaps, the percentage. I'm going with Kate Otten to take a slight drop off.
I'll go with Bredesen. I'm not in the team of
Are we going to notice it?
Ben Bredesen haters, but I think it may become a little more noticeable with Tristan Wirfs being out. And just, I don't know. He's got some bad film out there. He's got plenty of good film, and he's worth the money. But
Malk's a better player.
Not feeling right? Yeah. I'm not sure Bredesen is on an upward trajectory in his career.
Lee, offensive player?
Here's my offensive player, and people are going to have a wreck and crap in their pants, but it's sort of related to Isbits.
Do you crap in your pants before the wreck or after the wreck?
Probably. Well, he could be both. Depends. You know, who runs into your lane?
I'm not going to say Mike Evans.
No, I'm not going to say Mike Evans. And this is what I'm spooked by. The following three words. Bone on bone. I'm freaked out by Wirfs' knee injury. I'm freaked out. And if he can't play, that's going to hurt Bredesen. That's why I said this is related to Steve's choice. I hope this isn't the case.
You're worried long term about Wirfs.
And short term. I'm worried, man. I pray this is not the case. But I'm just spooked by this, so I'm going to say it. Wirfs.
All right. Good answer, Lee. And, nobody wants to, I understand why Lee was saying crap in your pants.
This will get people to crap in their pants.
Yeah, I mean, arguably he's their best player.
He's arguably the best left tackle in the game.
Yeah, probably the easy and smart answer as well there by Lee. All right. The final record, Ira, predict the Buccaneers' final record and the records of the NFC South teams.
I'm sticking with 11-6. I had it early. Sticking with it, even with these injuries. Little surprise. I got Carolina at 8-9. I think they're going in the right direction. Their defense can't be this bad. It was horrible last year. Now, horrible.
Horrible.
Now, I know one guy can't make all the difference, but Derek Brown, who's like their best defensive player, he played three games last year. He's a guy that Todd Bowles told me a few years ago, we can't block that guy when they struggled against Carolina.
How old is he?
I don't think he's old.
He's still in his 20s. For
yeah,
sure.
Okay. I'm thinking 28. I got Atlanta also at 8-9. Also, and I think the Saints are awful. I got them at 4-13. All year long, you're going to hear about Arch Manning and the Saints.
After last weekend, I don't think so.
And that's right. But you might still hear about the Saints having the number one pick.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got Bucks, Carolina, Atlanta, and New Orleans.
Bucks with 10 wins. Falcons with 9 wins. Carolina with 6 wins. The lowly Saints with 2.
2-15.
They're bad.
All right, Sage, I'm going Bucks, 10 wins. I was at 10 wins before we knew of injury of Wirfs and other situations. I don't think that's a bad thing. That's where this team
but
is.
But it'll be good enough to
right
win
now.
This division.
Absolutely. It's a division winning thing. I think Atlanta, brutal schedule early. And I'm not sure they're ready for it, but I'm going to give them 8 wins. I'll go Carolina with 6. And the Saints, every year there's a 2 or 3 win team, and they sure smell like it. So
you guys don't see Carolina really making a marked improvement necessarily.
No. A game better, maybe.
Okay. Too much on defense that they need to improve. They were the worst defense in the league last year. I'm not sure they're going to be so much better.
Even though you'll be rooting for Chuba Hubbard.
There you go, Chuba Hubbard in my fantasy league.
Do we really expect Bryce Young to make that big of a climb?
Well, he finished strong.
I think they'll be okay for them. You know.
Yeah, for them.
I'm going to give them 6 wins. I believe they had 5 last year.
Okay.
So that's something.
They were competitive at the end of the season, though. They were pretty competitive.
It's a tough schedule. Look, the NFC West, that's who our division plays this year. Arizona won 8 games last year after winning 4. That is a damn good team that nobody talks about.
The Niners could bounce back.
Seattle will be interesting with a lot of talent. And then you got the Rams. And the Niners will bounce back somewhere. I don't know how far, but they'll bounce back somewhere. So it's just a tough schedule all around. All right, Sage. Now, we have got our picks in, and the fans, we asked them to give their final records. The results came flying in. This was about 10 days ago. Number one answer was 11 wins, 40%. Number two answer was 12 wins, 25%. 19% said 10 wins, and then went down from there. And excuse me, 6% said 13 or more wins. So we are not with the fans. We are not with the
fans. Add those all up. How many percent?
All right. 11 wins or more was chosen by 71% of fans.
That's fans, Lee. That's fans.
And we're
fans. And they have every reason to like this
roster.
I'm
a fan, too. I'm just trying to be objective with it. That's where I think this team is. I think they'll be 9-7, win the finale, and be in good shape. So, Sage, name 2 NFL teams that will surprise positively this season. Who are your 2, Lee?
NFC, Seattle. I like that coach. and comes from a Harbaugh tree. No one's expecting him to do a damn thing. That's why I think they sneak up some people. Also, well, I don't want to give away my next answer or next question, but there's a team in that same division that I think is going to really suck. But Seattle's going to take advantage of that. I think Seattle's won. AFC, viva Las Vegas.
Whoa.
I like Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, Brady, Spytek. I think they're going to make a big jump.
Geno Smith can be good enough.
Yeah, he's adequate. They got the defense, I think, and you know they got a hell of a coach. I think they're going to surprise people.
Tough division. Carroll will bring professionalism to the desert.
As will Brady. As will Spytek.
I got two NFC teams, Steve. I got the Giants. I think they're going to be better.
Yeah.
I like their defense, Steve. They got a good front seven. And when you have a really good front seven, your secondary doesn't have to be that sturdy. It really helps the back end because the quarterback's got to get rid of the ball. I think Russell Wilson, you know, with Jackson Dart breathing down his neck, Lee, I think he'll be adequate. Neighbors is a hell of a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. I drafted their running back, Tracy. We'll see how he does. They got to be better than last year, Lee. They were a laughing stock. And I think they can win seven games, eight games. So I like the Giants, and I like the Bears. I think Ben Johnson is going to be a good head coach.
Yeah.
Really ignite that offense. Caleb Williams was not bad, Lee, last year. He wasn't
statistically
bad.
He was decent.
So I think Johnson, he's an offensive mastermind.
He breathes life into that team.
He really is. And if he doesn't bother himself with too much with defense, I think the Bears in the NFC North could be a factor. I don't think they're going to win it, but I think they will show improvement. So I'm going with Giants, Bears. And Lee likes Seattle and
Las
Raiders.
I am going to keep it quick in the interest of time. I already mentioned Arizona, so I'll put them on the
interesting team.
On the positive side based on where people are predicting them to finish. And just based on where most people are predicting them to finish, which is 4 or 5 wins, I think, I'm going to go with Miami. A lot of talent there.
I don't like that franchise.
I'm saying a lot of people don't. I think people are looking at them as 4 or 5 wins. Mike McDaniel's going to get fired. I think you're going to see 8, 9 wins from them.
I disagree with that.
So I'll go with that. When you can score like they can, a lot of good things happen. And they don't have the toughest schedule in the world. So, two teams that will disappoint and play under expectations. Ira?
I will go with my Chiefs.
What's disappointing for them? 10 wins?
The offense isn't very good. The offense isn't very good, Lee. They're a defensive team now, even with Mahomes. And here comes Sean Sullivan to provide his astute analysis, and I don't think Sean would disagree. The Chiefs are now known for their defense, which is amazing to say with a team with a Hall of Famer under center. Their running backs are very pedestrian. Even Pacheco, he's not elite. I don't know what's going on with the receiving corps. Rice won't be there till week 7. Kelsey he's looking his age. By taking a step back, they won 15 games last year. So they can win 11 games and take a step back. So I don't even think they're going to win that division, but I'm going with the Chiefs taking a step back. And I'm on the Ben Johnson train here, Lee. I think Detroit's going to go backwards a little bit. They've had some defections on the offensive line, which was a real strength of theirs. A new guy calling the plays, Lee. We don't know what's going to happen. And I think I don't think Goff's going to get any better. I think he's going to take a little step back. So they're still talented, Lee, and they get Hutchinson back. That's a big plus for the Lions. But I think they won 15 games last year.
Yeah, so like 11 games.
11 or 12. So I'm going with the Lions and the Chiefs, Lee. Right.
I'm stuck on 3 teams for this bottom. So I'll just like 1 and 1A, or 1A and 1B for the NFC and AFC. The AFC team, I'm everybody. I think Dolphins are going to suck out loud this year. I think they're going to be brutal. I see them nosediving. I see Cheetah Hill being a major pain in the ass.
They're
going to
clean
get
house, right, Lee?
What I'm expecting. That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a nosedive out of them. I hope it doesn't happen because I like their coach. I just don't see it, unfortunately. And the NFC teams, the two of them, like I can't change. It's a toss-up between Minnesota and San Francisco. I do not understand what people see in San Francisco. They weren't a playoff team last year, and they lost a bunch of targets for Brock Purdy.
They had a lot of injuries, Lee.
They had a lot of injuries, but they lost a lot of guys. They're not even on the roster anymore. And they were not a playoff team. I just don't see that. I don't understand it. So whatever. And the other one is J.J. McCarthy. Someone proved to me J.J. McCarthy is a top-shelf quarterback. He wasn't top-shelf at Michigan. Everybody loved him because he was a Josh Freeman. What I mean by that is projections. Oh, he's tall. Oh, he's got an arm. Oh, this. Oh, that. Can I see it? Can I see it first?
They got a good coach, Lee. He's good.
He's a good coach, but you can have Vince Lombardi reincarnated and put him out at quarterback, and they're going to be horrible. I've had general managers text me, say, you don't know what you're talking about, McCarthy. He can make all the throws. Where? Behind someone's garage? So, I've never seen him.
So you got three teams taking a step back.
Yeah, 1-1, 1A, 1B is Minnesota.
I've got the Chiefs and the Lions taking a step back. Steve, what do you got?
Did I say my other? Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah. Minnesota. The other is Miami.
Well, the question was disappoint or play under expectations. So I'll start with the Patriots because expectations for them are 8-9 wins if you look around. A lot of people.
Are they? Are they?
If you look at their predictions, a lot of people think that they're going to be...
How drunk were these people?
Sean, aren't you seeing that? 7-8-9 wins for the Patriots out there? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Man doesn't have a microphone.
That's fine. He's coming. I needed
verification.
Verification.
All right. So you see New England.
So New England, I see them more as a 6-win team for sure. And on the other side, based on the hype, I got to go with San Francisco. I'm not seeing it. I don't think there's some magic formula there in a brutal division. So I'll think that they're going to perform under expectations, maybe 7-win team, whereas people look at them
as
much
more. We've got to bring our guest in.
All right, Ira. So we're going to bring in Sean Sullivan for his predictions, and I'll ask him a few questions. I'm not going to run through all of them here. And also, right after Sean, I'm going to spit out last year's results, which nobody wants to miss. So a hearty return. Welcome to JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. He doubles as the Bill Curry Ford general manager. He owns the Ira Kaufman discount and sits in his pocket and he hands it out. Just find him at BillCurryFord.com. Sean, we're going to get your picks on not all the different things, but first give us 80 seconds on what's going on at the dealership, what we have to know.
We do have some leftover 24s and some 25s that are going to be pushed out to make room for the 26s coming in. So we just got today, like hot off the presses, we got some really aggressive interest rates finally. And we're talking about 0 for longer, 2.9 for 72, 4.9 for 84. We got some very aggressive rates. This is in anticipation of the rates being cut nationally, which is huge in the car business as well as in the real estate business. I'm looking forward to what this NFL season is going to bring because Ford is doing what's called like an NFL kickoff party. We had part of it today, but they have leases that are designed to celebrate the NFL season. How cool is that?
Nice.
Ford working with the NFL to put people, football fans, into brand new Fords. I mean, it can't get any better for me. I can tell you that. I love both things. Yeah. BillCurryFord.com. I got everything there. I have one of the best websites in the country. Right there, you can still do your mobile service and pick up and delivery for free. And now I have a tow truck. So now I'll be able to deliver vehicles to customers without having to put miles on them. And I'll be able to, if they're in an emergency situation, they can call us. I can come and get their vehicle and tow it right into my service department. There's no third party. Right? We're coming to get you. Just like we did in the 70s and 80s when we had the courtesy vehicles on the road. Well, now they have road rangers. But back then, it was just Bill Curry Ford. We would stop and give you a Coke, change your tire, whatever you needed. Well, guess what? We're bringing a little bit of that nostalgia back. Now I'm going to come and get you if you need something.
Very cool stuff, Sean. Let's get right after it. How many wins for the Bucks this year?
11 wins.
You're right there with me, Sean.
I went through the schedule. I'm hoping for a little bit of... better play against the Atlanta Falcons because I believe that we should win both the Saints games. This whole thing about splitting with Atlanta, I don't want to split with Atlanta. Who wants to split with Atlanta? Stop talking about splitting with Atlanta. I want to take both Atlanta games. And by the way, Carolina shouldn't be a contest for us. If this team is really a Super Bowl contender, it's not a contest.
No, no contest.
Right? So that's 6 wins. And then there's a combination of 5 other wins that I think we'll have. And I do believe that injuries are going to play a part. But then again, I think by the end of this season, we should be on all cylinders. I think we should be ready for the playoffs. I think we're going to win our division again. I have a lot of confidence in Baker Mayfield. It really is frustrating for me to hear the people who don't give Baker Mayfield credit when the last 2 seasons combined that he's passed 4 more yards and touchdowns than any other quarterback in the NFL. No one seems to take that into consideration. They still, even last night, Steve, last night I'm reading an article on Yahoo Sports that says that Bucks aren't even picked to win the division. They have the Falcons winning the division. And I'm thinking to myself, what are these people looking at?
It runs about 75% Bucks, 25 Falcons, and the many that I've seen across the country. So
you're going to be pissed off if the Bucks lose a division game, one of those 6 games?
Well, I think pissed off is the wrong word. I'd be disappointed because I think the team is better than the people in our division. And I think that we have to win the games we're supposed to win. If you're going to be a real contender, you just have to win those games.
Like the Jets in week 3?
The Jets, yes, of course. Of course.
All right. Bucky Irving's carries, yards, receptions, touchdowns. Lay out his season for us. Numbers.
Well, I think he's going to be over 5 yards a carry. I don't think he'll be as high as last year. Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. I think he was 5.6 or 5.5.
5.4.
A new Bucks record, yeah.
Yes, I think that's going to. I think he's going to be over 5 yards, but I don't think he's going to be as. I don't think he's going to be at the 5.4 mark. I think his touchdowns are going to go up. I think he's going to catch more balls. I'm looking at him around the 1,200 to 1,300-yard running back going into the season. I definitely think he's going to get the lion's share versus the split that he had with White early in the season last year. We already know what White is. I think he's a wonderful player, but Bucky Irving is special. And I think you got to put the ball in his hands more.
So you're looking at 250 carries.
Here's the thing. Yes, but I think at the beginning of the season, without Godwin, without McMillan, right? We're going into this with Amika, and we're going into this with Mike Evans, and Kate Otten's now hurt.
And without Wirfs. So,
and without Wirfs. So what are we going to do? We're going to do max protection. I think we're going to give Heck some support. So I think you're going to see some two-back sets with Rashard White and Bucky Irving in the backfield where Rashard stays in and blocks, and Bucky kind of scoots out into like a short passing game.
A lot of short passes, right,
yes,
Sean?
Yes, I think he's going to catch a lot of balls early in the season.
All right, I got two more for you, Sean. Two more Bucks predictions.
Shoot them.
Baker Mayfield last year, 41 TDs, 16 picks, 4,500 yards passing, 378 yards rushing. What does his season look like this year?
I see a very similar season with less interceptions. I think he's dialed in. I think I see 40 touchdowns with this arsenal that Jason Light's put together. Absolutely. He has one of the most talented offensive line when it's healthy. Chris Sims, who, you know, he has a terrific podcast. We met him in Indianapolis. He was very kind to us when we were in Indianapolis. He did a podcast with you. He believes that the Buccaneers have the best offensive line in football. He told me that, and I believe him because I think he knows a lot about football. And he basically said with that line and with the tools that he has between Bucky and Amika, a healthy Godwin, a healthy McMillan, and Mike Evans, who looks like he's the second coming of his rookie year, how could he not, without injury, be at least the same or better than last year? And I think some of those picks were on the receivers last year, and I think he's got a better fourth and fifth wide receiver this year. I think Tez Johnson, I know we talk about him, but I think he's going to make a difference early in the season.
Yep. Would you like Mayfield to run a little bit less? Does that bother you?
No, I don't want anybody to play different than how they feel comfortable playing. When you try to change a player, it seems to really set them back. I mean, I wish he would not go head first. I mean, I guess that would be something, but then if you try to make him slide, then he gets a knee injury, right? Because he's not used to sliding. So I don't know. I want the player to be comfortable in how he's playing, and I feel like that's the most important thing.
Don't take their instincts away, right, Sean?
Well, last year, yeah. I mean, if you guys listen to my podcast, I did a crazy Caleb Williams rant about how last year they didn't want him to run. They didn't want him to – they wanted him to stay in the pocket against one of the worst offensive lines in football. He got 68 times, and everybody goes, why is he staying in the pocket? Because at USC he ran. Well, the head coach said, I don't want him running. So then if you take away...
You're hampering the guy.
Yeah. You know, in baseball, they say there's a five-tool player, right? And there's a three-tool player. Well, what if this quarterback, you drafted him number one overall because he's a five-tool player, and then you're going to say, and you made him a three-tool player as a coach? It's ridiculous.
It's part of their effectiveness.
Right. Yeah. Listen, they said Jaden Daniels couldn't run like he ran last year, right? He ran for almost 800 yards and six touchdowns because they let him be him.
All right, Sean's new podcast, actually, I didn't see it until just now, so it will be up by tomorrow, so everybody will be able to listen to it for sure heading into the season. All right, last one, Sean, top three Bucks sackers this year. And
really, this is a question?
All right, you don't have to answer it.
I mean, I'll try. I'll do my best.
Yeah, throw it out there.
So obviously, Kancey would be the number one guy for sacks.
How many?
I'm gonna go with he'll have 10 sacks from that position. I think with the extra games, I think he's that talented of a player.
Number two?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. I think I'm going to go with Dennis.
Sirasia Dennis.
Sirasia Dennis.
Wow.
Yep.
A lot of blitzing.
I think with Todd Bowles' defense, he's going to, again, drop our edges in a 3-4 back into coverage.
And
he's going
to. Sound like the Kemper over there.
He's going to rush our inside linebackers when he gets a chance. So just so you know, Dennis was one of the best pass rushers
at
from
Pittsburgh,
his position
yep.
at Pittsburgh, yep. you know, in college football. And we haven't really get to see that because he's been hurt. I think that Todd's got this in his back pocket. I think you're going to see him blitzing a lot this season.
What's your number for Dennis? Number?
I think he gets to 8 sacks.
Okay.
And the last one, Reddick?
Question.
I'm waiting for you to mention Reddick here. I'm waiting.
Well, listen, I watched Reddick last year play. I watched him play.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was really bad. I can't tell if it's attitude or if it's physically he's getting to the point where he's not the same. So let's go. I'll go with Hassan Reddick next. Yeah, I think Diaby will have the most tackles for loss. I don't think he'll have the most sacks. I think Diaby is a physical brute, and I think he influences the line. I'll go Hassan Reddick with 7 sacks.
All right. Okay. Sean, we love getting your input here. I know a lot of fans love it, too.
For Sean Sullivan.
All right. It's your podcast.
Sean, can you...
I was going to kick him out.
No. Sean, your thoughts on Gerecki getting the money and the timing and whether he deserves it or not.
Well, I mean, you saw the prices on offensive linemen. The offensive linemen, once they hit the market, it's getting reset by silly general managers.
And it's not going to go down, right, Sean? It's not going to go down.
Right.
I mean...
We have this thing in the car business where when we have a talented person, another car dealership will offer him more money, right? And then I'll offer him more money to stay, and then we've reset the market in that position. Now that person's making more money, and myself and the other dealership look silly, right? Because we've reset the market for all of our employees. It happens the same way in football. So Jason Light's protecting us by signing a terrific player who's earned his contract, and I still think the contract that I saw, it seems like big numbers, but really... It's not, considering the fact that, like, a top right tackle, and from what I understand, he's been put in that echelon of, like, maybe
it's top five money. Yeah, it's top five right tackles.
Then it's right in line.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect timing. Jason Light does his thing. I actually like it very much. Let's lock him up.
All right, Sean, we're going to say goodbye to you. I'm going to ask you to hand that microphone to Lee. And we are going to close on out of here. We'll thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Be prepared. Get there and educate yourself so you have a plan, especially in the heat of hurricane season. Ira, can we squeeze you for 3 minutes to highlight these picks from last year?
I'll give you 5.
I'll give a little summary because we promised it, and then we'll hit them more in the next podcast.
Did Sullivan make any predictions last year?
No. Okay. So I'll start off easy, and I got a lot of these here. We all predicted Rashad White would have under 825 yards while a lot of fans were talking about him busting 1,000 yards.
And we didn't know how good Irving was going to be.
And we didn't know exactly how good Irving would be. So we'll give us some credit there. Last year, pat on the back to Lee, he predicted a big improvement for the Bucs running game, 4.5 yards a carry after 3.4 yards in 2023.
Wow.
We were not as high, so congratulations for Lee. Obviously, the total was 5.3, so that was a good one. Ira insisted status quo kind of years from Baker Mayfield. So you got that one wrong, Ira. You status quo, Lee predicted a slight regression. I predicted a bigger year. Now, with the sacks, we were all off because we were all still believing that the Bucs could sack people. Yaya with 9 and Braswell with 4. And now, top three rookies, Ira went Tyke, Graham Barton, Chris Braswell. But Ira admits, quote, "I'm worried about Braswell." Lee's top three rookies, and I'm mentioning these because we were all different. Lee's top three rookies, Jalen McMillan, who, of course, had 8 touchdowns. Tyke Smith, Lee citing splash plays, and Barton. And I went with Irving, Barton, and Smith. And I said, quote, "I'm big time down on Braswell." So,
well done, Steve.
So
we
did pretty well there, although Ira, I don't know, Braswell is your top three rookies. I think you might
I shocked the world.
You might get fired for that one.
How many wins did we get?
You had 9 and 8. You said, I can't go 10. I can't go there. However, I think they're going to win the division. And 9 and 8 keeps Bulls employed. Lee predicted emphatically the switch to Michael Penix later in the season and that the Falcons would finish 8 and 9. And
he got that right.
So he got that right. He also said the Bucs would win and 9 and 8 and that they would have a path to 10 wins. I insisted the Bucs would win the final 2 games at home and finish 10 and 7. So that was pretty good.
You've got it.
Now, we've got more, but I actually predicted, Ira, when we asked the most underachieving teams to predict for 2025, I explained why it would be the Eagles. So that was just embarrassing to go back and listen to.
That knocks out your Bucky Irving.
Yeah, that was terrible. It was terrible. But we got more. We'll share. Some of them are fun, and I got pulled the quotes on all of them. So we'll have some fun next time as we predict the Bucks game in Atlanta. And plenty more coming from One Buck this week.
One more question for Sean Sullivan. All right, Sean, you've got a pick between me and Isbitz here. I think Isbitz is out of his mind. You tell me. He says this is, quote, a must game, a must win. In other words, the season could crumble if they don't win this game. I call it a big game. He calls it a must win. Can you have a must win in week one?
Yes, you can have a must win in week one. I'm sorry, I got to go with Steve on this one. If we lose to the Falcons, it's going to be a long season.
Whoa.
There's no excuse for losing to the Falcons. Their quarterback hasn't played in all preseason. He played in three games last year.
Team, you might be missing three or four offensive starters.
They're missing both of their right tackles. They're missing their starting right tackle and their backup right tackle. You guys were just talking about Reddick. If Reddick doesn't come out and have a three-sack game in this, I don't know, when is he going to get sacks?
All right.
When?
Well, Sean's right on that last one. Now, Ira, I never said that the season would crumble. I said that the whole view of the season would change if they can't go out and beat Atlanta in week one. So, yeah, to me, it's a must win for the season we all want, which is a Super Bowl kind of year. All right, Sage, we'll be back at it. We have a surprise announcement next week. It was delayed, but we've got one, and I know you're very excited about that, and it comes with pictures, too.
Nice.